too big to fail. That's the assumption underlying Australia's big four banks. We know that. And now the Reserve Bank of Australia has put a price on the extent to which taxpayers implicitly subsidise the banks underwriting that guarantee. FOI documents released yesterday reveal that the RBA estimates this subsidy, this implicit underwriting, is worth between $1.9 billion and $3.7 billion to the four big banks. And that's similar to the estimate made by the Customer-Owned Banking Association. In a submission to the Murray Financial Services Inquiry, the association estimated the subsidy, the implicit subsidy, is worth between $2.9 to $4.5 billion to the big four. For the building societies, credit unions and mutuals, this means the playing field is still far from level, despite the government commitments following the Murray Inquiry that steps should be taken to reduce the implicit guarantee for banks. Mark DeGattardi is CEO of the Customer-Owned Banking Association. He joins us from Armidale in regional New South Wales. Mark, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran. Good morning.
So the RBA seems to agree with you. This subsidy is worth billions of dollars. But tell us, it's not really a subsidy in dollars to the banks. Explain what it is first and how it works as a subsidy.
Sure. The RBA finding that was released yesterday certainly puts the debate to bed that the subsidy exists. And why it happens is because the implicit government guarantee, the fact that the government will stand behind the big banks if they, in the unlikely event that they were to fail, means that the ratings agencies put a positive weighting behind that and increase the ratings of the major banks. And mm-hmm. when they go to access funding in the markets, the people lending them money say, well, you're a lower risk than you would otherwise have been, and therefore we'll give you that funding for cheaper than you would otherwise have got.
Okay. And this is good for Australia, though, isn't it, for the world to see our major banks as rock solid?
Oh, look, absolutely. It's good for Australia and the economy in general. Our four major banks are some of the biggest companies in the country. And so we want the banking system to be unquestionably strong. But what we also want for consumers to get the best outcome is for there to be fair competition in the market as well.
Okay, so this is where you come in. What is it you're saying? It's basically skewing things at the moment, that it's in effect costing your customers, the customers of building societies, credit unions, mutual banks.
Well, it certainly distorts the competitive playing field. There's no question about that. And one of the things we'd like to do is to see if we can narrow the gap between the framework for the big four and the framework for everyone else, including our customer and banking members. So what that would mean for us is that we would hope that the government, whichever one that is, come July 2, would hasten to implement the recommendations of the FSI, which had very clear recommendations around how to improve the competitive playing field for all banks.
The government's already said it will move to fix that problem, given the findings of the Murray Inquiry. But what would those changes mean? What would they look like?
Yeah, so certainly one of the recommendations of the Financial System Inquiry was that if the government's going to stand behind the major banks, then we should make sure that the major banks have unquestionably strong levels of capital. And the inquiry made a number of recommendations around increasing the capital levels of the big banks. You're absolutely right, the government's accepted those recommendations. And what we'd be saying is we'd like actually the timetable for implementation of that to be moved forward. APRA, the prudential regulator, has said, you know, they'll implement those recommendations by around 2019. And we just think that timetable's too long. The distortion in the competitive playing field is right here and now. And in the long term, a competitive banking system is going to be good for the economy, but also good for consumers. It's the only way you can underpin the best outcomes for consumers.
Yeah, but as we say, the bank's holdings, the banks have received this order. They complained, they grumbled a bit about it, but they've basically taken it on board. They are going to be forced to keep larger holdings, aren't they?
Absolutely. The intent from APRA is there. What we would be saying is that timetable needs to be moved forward. And we see no reason that a 4 or 5 year delay in implementing these reforms is warranted.
Is that the major, when David Murray said in his report that the system could be stronger, unquestionably strong, and wanted to see more competition, is that the key policy change?
Yeah, look, there was a huge range of recommendations in the inquiry, but that was one of the first two recommendations of that inquiry were all about making sure our banking system and the capital levels in it were unquestionably strong. You know, of course, there's a bit of debate about what unquestionably strong might mean, but clearly against global levels of capital, our banks have some way to go, and we think that we should move there quicker, well, sooner rather than later.
It's 2 minutes to eight on Breakfast. Our guest is Mark Degatardi. He's the CEO of the Customer Owned Banking Association, which represents a lot of the smaller banks, the credit unions, building societies, mutual banks. Can you give us a sense in dollar terms, Mark, what this implicit subsidy that the big four banks have actually might cost your customers in terms of interest rates they pay?
Well, it's not really a question of what it costs our customers. When you compare our standard variable rates that are freely advertised against those of our competitors, we're actually doing really well.
So what's the problem then?
Well, what it means is that we're required to hold more capital against the same sort of loans than our competitors. So if we had that playing field was narrower, we could lend to more customers. More customers could take advantage of the great offers that we have and that other institutions have. And
okay, so, well, let me ask that question another way. How much is it a handbrake on the growth of your sector, of the smaller banks?
Oh, look, I think it's a significant handbrake on us. We haven't quantified that, Fran, but certainly a $4 billion subsidy, or give or take, depending whose figure you use, is a significant distortion of the competitive market. And we certainly would revel in the fact if we were able to narrow the gap between us and the largest banks and compete on fairer terms. That would allow us to reach more customers and let customers make their own choices about what the best offers for them are.
And Mark, we've only got a minute for the news, but there's been talk lately about, you know, the banks being ripe for disruption and the whole sort of sharing economy changing things. Can you see big changes coming in the banking sector?
Well, look, I think there's no question that the fintechs and others will disrupt the market. The question is, who's going to be the biggest disruptor? I think that's still probably not yet clear, but we certainly would welcome that sort of disruption. I think a vibrant and diverse banking market is going to give the best outcomes for consumers. So bring them on, we would say.
Bring them on. Let a thousand flowers bloom. Mark, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Mark Degatardi, CEO of the Customer Owned Banking Association.